I believe, I hope, and I adore you. For all those who do not believe, for all those who do not hope in you, for all those who do not adore you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go ahead and right there on the bottom. Go ahead. One of the greatest phenomena in our modern world that brings me great difficulty in my life is to see how our modern world no longer shows any sort of reverence to the Eucharist. We have no reverence for Holy Communion. Sadly, one of the reasons why I think that this is something that was meant with a good idea, but has a deleterious effect on all of us. That's a simple thing as receiving Holy Communion in the hand. Because what happens when we do that is we actually give ourselves to manhandling God. You know what that word manhandling means? It's one of those words that you would use for the way a WWF wrestler treats his opponent. Manhandling. Literally, that word means, comes from the Latin word manus, meaning hand. So it's to handle within one's hand. That's what it means to manhandle. So what we're doing when we take our Lord is that we're treating him in the way that we want to, the way that we desire to touch him, the way that we can move him according to our own will and disposition rather than how he would have us. It treats him as though he's not the great creator of the universe as he is. Reception of Holy Communion in the hand can have these difficult problems with us because it opens us to a whole lot of abuses of the Blessed Sacrament. Did you know that? One thing that it can do is the host can more easily fall to the ground if carelessly received in unsure hands. Or it could be dropped because of carelessness. Maybe somebody would take him on a trip back to their seat. Let me tell you something. When I first became pastor here, 6 months after I was a pastor, I had a priest friend who was here visiting with me. And we were just talking about various things, as priests do, showing him off our beautiful church that's here. And he sat in those pews right over there. And I opened one of our hymnals, and you know what he found? Inside that hymnal was the Eucharist. A consecrated host, which had been there long before I was here. I know that because I watch every single person who receives the Eucharist and do not let them take more than 2 steps before they receive it, or else I pursue them. So our Lord had been there for at least 6 months or longer, waiting in that book, unloved, uncared for, unadored, disrespected. This is a great sacrilege. That's one thing that can happen because of receiving our Lord in the hand. But also, you know, when we receive him in our hands, the particles, they begin to stick to our fingers, to our hands, to our palms. And if we're not careful, what happens is that they can so easily fall to the ground, to be trampled underfoot by men, to find an undignified home within our pockets or in the hand of somebody who we shake hands with afterwards. A grave offense. Also, maybe what they do in a Holy Communion is when somebody does so, they can walk away with our Lord. You know, this is something that Satanists, that witches, that those who are members of the occult, in order to show outright disrespect and hatred for Christ, will try to steal a consecrated host. Because they actually believe that Jesus is there, unlike many Catholics. They want to torture him and use them and abuse him in their black masses, in their rituals to attack Christ. This is something which is opened up because of reception of communion in the hand. But how did Jesus do it at the Last Supper, do you know? Jesus at the Last Supper, what he did was he took himself, after consecrating the Eucharist, and handed it to his disciples. Do you know how he did it? He took the host. He placed it upon the tongue of each one of his disciples. Why? They let him do this because they saw he was a loving Father who was giving them his own flesh to eat, that he was placing himself upon their tongues, and they received him because they recognized he was that loving Father, just like a father nourishes his children, as a mother would nourish her little baby boy and spoon the food into his mouth, so too Christ wishes to place himself within us in the most dignified way possible. You know that first abuse that I talked about, how Jesus can so carelessly fall to the ground? Let me tell you a story about that. You know, it was back in August 18th, or maybe it was August 15th, on the Feast of the Assumption, in the city of Buenos Aires, over there in Argentina. You can see it right here. What is going on there is that the people in Argentina discovered, after distributing the Eucharist, there was a host lying there upon the ground. So the Eucharistic minister got the attention of the priest. And what he did was he saw it and he said, well, we must take care of this. So they took it, purified the area where the host had fallen, and placed it in a little cup like you see right there, which I will wash my fingers with after distributing the Eucharist. Put it in a little cup like that and put it in the tabernacle so that it would dissolve. That's the way you're supposed to do things if you don't receive that host. Well, what they did was they waited. And 6 days later, what they said, the priest looked in there to see how it had dissolved so that he could go ahead and bury whatever remained. But he went there, and too much to his perplexion, he was perplexed by this because he saw the host was different. It didn't get smaller. In fact, it actually grew in size. And it had small red blotches all over it. He didn't know what to do with this. So what he did was he put it back there and waited another week. And it only grew larger, and the red blotches grew more. It became coagulated blood. At this, he was completely dumbfounded and immediately called up his bishop, a bishop by the name of Jorge Bergoglio. You may know him. Now he's called Pope Francis. Called him up, and to let him know what was going on, and not knowing what to do, he had them photograph it and then keep it in the tabernacle, where he left it for 3 years to see if it would dissolve. It didn't. So what they did was they sent it to a laboratory there in Buenos Aires and examined it under the microscope to find out what exactly was going on with this miracle. Because it looked like a piece of flesh. What did Jesus say in John chapter 6? He said, "This bread I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world." So when they examined it, Dr. Ricardo Castanon, who was an atheist at the time, discovered within it that he found red blood cells, white blood cells, and hemoglobin present in that thing that used to be a host. He also found that it perplexed him because these cells weren't stationary, but they were actually moving. They were pulsating, beating, as though they themselves were alive. Not knowing what to do with that, he documented it, and they put it back where they had left it before, to remain there. In 2004, I didn't say that this was in 1996 that this happened. So here, in 2004, after 8 years, what they said, we want to examine it a little bit further. So what they did was they sent it in a blind study out to the United States, to New York, a little bit of it, to be examined. And so that's what they did. They took it to Dr. Zugby, and his specialty was being able to know how a person suffered, how a person was when they die, what it was that caused them to die. Sent him the flesh without letting know where it came from. He didn't want to prejudice the study. So what he did was he took that flesh and he examined it in the ways that he did, and he found some amazing things, not knowing that this flesh used to be a small round wheat host about this size. What were his findings? He found that they belonged to a person who he said must have suffered greatly. Why is that? Well, what does it say in the scriptures? It says in the gospel, "So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas. And after flogging Jesus, handed him over to be crucified." After examination, Dr. Zugby said passionately to Dr. Gomez, who handed him the species, "You have to explain something to me. If this sample came from a person who was dead, how can it be that as I was examining these cells, they were moving, beating? If this heart came from somebody who died in 1996, how can it be that they appear to be alive?" At that, what happened was Dr. Gomez returned to him and told him the whole story of the Eucharistic miracle. And at that, the doctor, a scientist, began to pull out his hair in shock and amazement. How could this be? And that's an amazing story, right? An incredible thing. A miracle. So let's go back in time. Maybe let's go back a little bit in time. How about 1,300 years? 13 centuries. Let's go back to the 8th century, the 700s. You know, there was a monk priest who, even though he was a priest, doubted Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. But he asked God, he was praying fervently, "Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. I just can't." And so this priest was from Lanciano, a place where I myself have visited 2 times in my life. And as he was celebrating Mass, something happened. Remember, he was praying that God would increase his faith so that he could believe in the Eucharist. I tell you what, if you ask that God a prayer like that, he will always answer it, 100% of the time, if you give him the space to do so. So as this priest was celebrating Mass, as he turned, as you'll see me do in a few moments, raised up the body, the host above his head, miraculously, the host was transformed into flesh before his very eyes. In fact, not only the host, but the contents of the chalice were not wine, but they were actual blood that, when it dried up, coagulated into 5 globules of blood. A miracle. Needless to say, he was converted and his faith was changed on the spot. Amazing, no? Well, in 1970, they decided to subject this miracle to scientific tests. So in 1970, an Italian doctor went through it and not knowing what was going on, examined it. And he found some pretty amazing things. First, he found that this blood of this Eucharistic miracle is actually real blood. That the flesh is actually real flesh that came from a human person. It wasn't pig's blood or something like that. It was real. He also found that the flesh consists of a muscular tissue of the heart. The mitochondria, the thing that which gives life to the heart, causes it to beat. He found that this flesh and blood actually have the same blood type, further confirming the miracle. AB positive. AB positive. And also the proteins in the blood are in the same proportion as those found in normal human blood when it has been freshly shed. Remember that this happened 1,300 years before that. Blood loses its property when shed after about 15 minutes, loses these same properties. Yet it had them 1,300 years later. One other finding is that despite this, human flesh should not have remained preserved for 1,300 years. Yet, when they examined it, they found no sign of preservative whatsoever within it. Many great things. Many great things. Dr. Gomez, remember that doctor from Buenos Aires, remembered that that miracle existed and that tests were done on it, so he asked if he could do some of his own and examine them together. So with miracles side by side, you know what he found? He found that both these samples came from the same person because they had the same DNA. The same DNA. Though the miracles are separated by 1,300 years, how is that possible unless it is Jesus Christ himself? In fact, I am told that when you examine the DNA, you can only find who the mother is. There's no trace of a father. Does that not prove that this is God's Son? The Son of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Brothers and sisters, this is an amazing miracle. Further things, what did Jesus say in John chapter 6? He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats my flesh, eats this bread, will live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh for the life of the world." Further evidence. You know, NASA in 1978 examined the blood that was found on the Shroud of Turin. You know what they found? Blood type, AB positive. They examined the blood that was on the face covering, the sudarium, that was underneath that one. Blood type, AB positive. The rarest blood type in the world. Only 5% of the population has it now. Also, AB positive happens to be the universal donor, showing that Christ's salvation is universal for all, to each one who receives it. How beautiful. Remember those five blood globules that you'll find here in the Miracle of Lanciano? Well, in the Middle Ages, what they did, they didn't have DNA examination. So what they did was they examined it the best way they could. They weighed them. There were five of them. And what they realized was that no matter how many they put on one side of the scale or on the other side of the scale, if they put one over here and four over here, or two over here and three over there, in any order, it didn't matter what, how many, they all weighed the exact same. That's impossible. Yet it happens every single time. What does that prove to us who are men and women of faith? That no matter how great a host you have and receive of Jesus Christ, no matter how small a particle it may be that's stuck to your hand, you're receiving the same Jesus, which has the same weight of salvation for those who receive it. Brothers and sisters, these are amazing miracles. This is our faith. Our faith proclaims that great wondrous mystery that Jesus is actually really, truly present in the Eucharist. He's really there. It's actually Jesus. It's Him. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, His presence. This isn't just a representation. This isn't just some symbol. This is Jesus Christ come in the flesh. We believe it, and it is real. What I place within your hand is God Himself. What I place upon your tongue is God Himself, given to you to raise you up, to preserve you, not just in this life, but unto life everlasting. And you know what? I know that what I'm telling you doesn't prove faith to you. Why? Because it's a matter of faith. We cannot prove anything which is a matter of faith. This definitely supports it. So maybe you can say that you're a person out there who's a skeptic and says, Father, it's nothing but lies. Nothing but lies. You can go that way. Maybe you're somebody who's unimpressed and just say, well, maybe it's just a coincidence that something like this happens. But maybe, and my hope is that you're actually a person of faith. A person of faith which confirms the belief you already have that Jesus is truly present in the great sacrament of the altar. So if you even have the slightest inkling of faith, the smallest mustard seed size of faith in Jesus' true presence in the Eucharist, this is what I ask of you and I urge you, brothers and sisters, that you would receive Jesus worthily. That you receive Jesus devoutly in the Blessed Sacrament. And so if you are one to receive the Blessed Sacrament upon your tongue, think of it as it is. Jesus placing Himself upon your tongue as a loving Father, giving you Himself in intimacy, giving you Himself not for nourishment in this present life as your own father would have done when you were a child, but preservation from corruption unto life eternal. And if you were to receive our Lord upon your hand, that you would receive Him devoutly, seeing the places where the particles may have fallen and to lick that spot, to lick your fingers, such that our Lord does not find an undignified place trampled underfoot of men. That He does not find an undignified home within a pocket or upon somebody's shoulder when you tap them on the back. Brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is God. Be believing, be unbelieving no longer, but believe. I share with you one prayer which maybe you should pray at all times in your life, and especially for the indignities of the abuses of the Blessed Sacrament like happened here in this parish. To pray this prayer as you turn toward Christ, receiving Him even today, if not every day in your life. As we began the homily, we prayed, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I hope in You. And I adore You. For all those who do not believe, for all those who do not hope in You, for all those who do not adore You. This is our faith. Jesus is present in the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You can go back now.